What's up, everyone? The Pro Football Weekly podcast is back, and we're so thrilled that you are back with us. It's Eric Edholm and Arthur Arkish checking in after week one of the NFL season, really spinning it forward to week two. And Eric, that was, well, it was fun because football was back, but that was a lot of sloppy football in week one, wasn't it?
You're lying. It was not fun. I watched both my Super Bowl teams lose in week one, dude. This was a terrible experience for all. For me. It was very strange. I mean, we always expect the unexpected in week one.
Right.
But the lack of passing offenses by some teams that we sort of expect to throw the ball well, you know, Houston Texans laying a complete eggs. I was just mad that I had to start writing my Rams-Jaguars Super Bowl preview so early. You know, that was my biggest thing.
It was kind of funny if you think about it. So New Orleans comes into Minnesota, and Sam Bradford does a Drew Brees impersonation.
Yeah.
Alex Smith goes to Foxborough and does a Tom Brady impersonation.
Pretty good one, too.
And then you've got Jared Goff playing his best Andrew Luck role out in L.A. So just weird. We know not to make too much of anything in week one of the NFL. I kind of have to laugh. The only thing as silly as fantasy football expert may be anyone being called an expert after week one because no one has a clue.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was people who were on the Kareem Hunt train, obviously, early. And there were some people, you know, Cooper Kupp is a good example of a guy that, hey, believe the hype. You know, this guy is not your typical third round pick. So, you know, maybe we went a little over our skis on Christian McCaffrey, but he'll get his work this season. So that rookie running back group, for the most part, I think delivered. You know, yes, there were a lot of surprises, probably none more so than at the quarterback position.
Those were the stories, though, I think, was the rookie running back. Certainly not only Kareem Hunt, but Leonard Fournette has a huge debut. Dalvin Cook, an awesome debut. Tariq Cohen here in Chicago was outstanding. And as you mentioned, Christian McCaffrey, he was busy. Don't worry, fantasy football owners.
Agreed.
He's still out-snapped, Jonathan Stewart.
Yeah.
And they were right around the same touches. He's got to hold on to the football. He did have a garbage time fumble late that I'm sure Ron Rivera wasn't thrilled about, but don't get concerned if you're a Christian McCaffrey owner or anything like that. We've got Fantasy Football Podcast where we just focus on that. This is the NFL pod, and we're going to look forward to week two. There is some great matchups, Eric. I think it probably starts with New England and New Orleans both just getting pounded to the surprise of many, and those two facing off with New England coming into New Orleans.
Yeah, there's still issues. I mean, both teams can light up the scoreboard. Both teams have some issues defensively, so we expect big points. But you know, I mean, Tom Brady had a bad second half. Yeah. You know, Breeze's protection wasn't great. Patriots are short at receiver. Saints are short at receiver right now. So you've got the whole Adrian Peterson thing. There's a lot of weird angles to the story. You know, two coaches who obviously are innovative and respect each other. They don't face off very often. So, yeah, very interesting game. I tend to think the Patriots are about as good as anybody at fixing mistakes, right? And
yeah.
I don't know. I guess I don't know where the Saints are. I don't know what your feelings if this is a team that's just going to be bad again, or sort of, you know, 7-9 bad this season.
Man, it looked like they may be a team that struggles to get to 7-9.
I know.
You have to figure if we're going to give New England the benefit of the doubt as a club, we probably should give Drew Brees' offense the benefit of the doubt as well.
Yep.
I'm sure it's going to turn things up. But although I think we called it here, Ryan Ramczyk, his struggles, and certainly he did protecting Drew Brees in his NFL debut. It wasn't pretty.
I agree with that. You know, he struggled. He had the noise, the pass rush of Everson Griffin.
Yeah.
The other thing that I'm confused about, Arthur, and you can let me know what you think about this. It feels like Sean Payton has become less aggressive with his offense, kicking field goals at the end there to make it a two-score game, and more aggressive in favor of his defense, calling all those timeouts before the end of the half. Like, what Saints team am I looking at here? The one that was gashed defensively, at least the one that has the potential to score points.
Right.
Odd coaching right there, I think.
I couldn't agree more, and frankly, the Adrian Peterson, Sean Payton stare off was a thing.
Bizarre.
But why is it Alvin Kamara at the goal line instead of Adrian Peterson? I know that's not your point, but I think it's also worth mentioning. To your point, I think Sean Payton just forgot that he didn't, in fact, consummate the trade for Malcolm Butler, and Nick Fairley didn't miss the season. He must think he's got a couple more horses on defense than what he actually has to work with.
Or could it be that he's just a stubborn man? I don't know. I'm trying to figure out. I don't care. Sarcastic, you know, but I don't know. This is not the same coach I remember pre-suspension. I feel like, you know, he's been like slightly neutered or something. And even though that stubbornness is still there, it's like he makes these decisions that just sort of make you scratch your head.
Yeah, it's a great point. And I think we can safely say that he's probably not going to be able to put as much, you know, blind faith in his defense when the Patriots come to town as angry as they're going to be. And who knows? I mean, we've talked about a lot of contract years. And I don't think we talk about Drew Brees maybe enough. You hear about whoever, Jimmy Graham, Le'Veon Bell, you know, Sam Bradford, Terrell Pryor, the list goes on of all these big name contract years. This could finally be the end for Drew Brees in New Orleans, potentially. But again, it's 1 week, and what we try hard to do is not overreact on this podcast. So, well, we do overreact, but we try to limit it.
We try to couch just slightly with our overreactions.
What do you think about some of the kind of reunions this week? I think that Doug Peterson going back to Kansas City and seeing Andy Reid is going to be fun. You got Sean McDermott going back to Carolina is an interesting game. Sean McVay welcoming in his old boys in Washington. I always, I don't know, I'm kind of a sucker for those narratives that often end up meaning nothing. But the Kansas City-Philadelphia one is particularly intriguing because both of those teams really exceeded expectations, played really well out of the gate.
Yeah, and it occurred to me, we talked about a transition game. I mean, Brandon Cooks going back to New Orleans, too, so that works pretty well. I forgot about that aspect. But, yeah, I mean, I guess I'm curious to find out a little bit more about both the Bills and the Panthers. I suspect the Bills aren't going to be a great team this year, but, you know, they're going to be pretty competitive. You know, the defense may be a little bit better. But Eagles-Chiefs, to me, is prime time. That's a big time. Chiefs offensive line, which mashed in week one, so good up front. Eagles pass rush and the depth up front, maybe having to cover a little weakness on the back end. And then sort of, I don't know, Carson Wentz doing a Brett Favre impression. Kareem Hunt, you know, Tyreek Hill. There's some fun stuff in that game, and I really think it's going to be an exciting one.
I think when we talk about some of the big boy offensive lines in Oakland and Tennessee and Pittsburgh and the AFC, we may be underselling Kansas City a little bit. There's a lot of continuity there. They have invested big time in that unit, obviously, and then have been able to find their skill guys, the Kareem Hunts and the Tyreek Hills of the world, even going back to Jamal Charles in the middle round. So that's kind of an interesting formula that they have there. What do you think about Tyreek Hill? Showed me a ton. That was a really impressive debut. How in trouble is Jim Schwartz potentially after losing Ronald Darby? It seems like they had a lot of their cornerback eggs in that basket after the trade.
Right, and he wants to pressure, and he wants to play man defense. Man, that's what Jim does. And so, I mean, yeah, it's going to be a little bit tough to be shorthanded and, you know, come up with solutions back there. And you know, I think Jalen Mills is fine. I mean, he's an okay player. He's probably not going to be somebody you want playing, you know, being the shutdown option there as well. You know, Rasul Douglas, the long rookie out of West Virginia, good prospect.
Yep.
Is he ready to handle those kind of duties? I don't know. Patrick Robinson, whoever else they have. It's a little thin right now. So, yeah that is a concern.
Good call on Rasul Douglas. Of course, they also spent the pick on Sidney Jones, but they're looking down the road with him. I haven't been updated, unfortunately. Do you think he's going to play at all as a rookie, or is that kind of a long shot, does it seem?
Yeah, still cut up in the air. For those who may not remember, Sidney Jones could have been a high pick, top 40, top 50 pick. Blew his Achilles at his pro day on the final rep of his pro day, too. It was unbelievable. And, yeah, I got that information and just couldn't believe it happened. So they took a risk on him. But, yeah, I suspect he's probably going to be, you know, if he's going to go, he's going to be after week 10, after the pup list, the very end of that window.
So we'll see what Jim Schwartz is able to do. At least he's got a great pair of safeties there in Malcolm Jenkins and Rodney McLeod, obviously, and that's going to help a little bit. Malcolm Jenkins has some, you know, some corner experience as well.
True.
Let's stick with the Chiefs for 1 minute, Eric, because I have to ask. I mean, what more can you say about Kareem Hunt and Alex Smith and Tyreek Hill? It was awesome. Justin Houston took over that game late. That's an encouraging sign. Not only Houston, but Derek Johnson looked awful healthy for a 34-year-old coming off his second ruptured Achilles in 3 years. But there is a big rub here. What does this team do without its emotional leader, without maybe its most important defender in Eric Berry? Talk about kind of a little bit of a black cloud over a big win for them last week.
Yeah, I mean, if there was a position where they were at least had a little bit of depth, it was safety. So, you know, I mean, they softened that blow. And
yeah.
I've always thought Daniel Sorensen was an incredible athlete, and he was the third safety last year. He can play up in the box a little bit. Big kid out at BYU. Guy's about 29 years old, too. It's funny. He's only been in the league about 8 minutes. But and they had a converted safety. I'm blanking on his name right now. The kid from Minnesota, Eric Murray, who they've now converted to safety. So he'll be the third guy. You can't replace what Eric Berry did on the field. Can he be that sort of coach guy on the sideline now and lift him up that way? Yeah, maybe. That's probably going to be his biggest value. He's an inspiration. Everyone knows that. He's the best leader they have on that defense. So,
right.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I tend to think they're going to be okay. But their depth across the team is a worry for me. They can't lose more than three or four starters this whole season.
And you're right. Between Daniel Sorensen, they got Ron Parker, too, a good player.
Yeah,
Murray
Parker's
played
great.
A lot in, yep. After Barry went down last week. But it's hard to forget what happened with the run defense after Derek Johnson went down a couple years mm-hmm. ago. Where was the pass rush last season with Justin Houston having a lost year? So they've been a solid, sustainable contender, but you have seen some of these issues when their big studs go down. And what team wouldn't, I guess, for the most part, with these types of players?
Well, they have about 19 inside linebackers on their roster now. They trade for Reggie Ragland, right. Kevin Pierre-Lewis, the kid out of Boston College, the Seahawks guy, and they drafted this kid, Oligwe, in round 4 or 5. So that may be the one other position where they're pretty well stocked, along with Johnson, Remake Wilson.
All right, so what other games look interesting here? I'm certainly intrigued by Dallas going into Denver.
Absolutely.
We're taping here Thursday late morning, and regardless of what happens with the NFL pushing the timeline up to find out whether they're going to get a stay on this temporary restraining order, Zeke's going to be on the field week 2.
Mm-hmm.
In Dallas defensively continues to be a smoke and mirrors deal. They were just dominant against the Giants. That's another story. The Giants offensive line, we'll get there in a minute. But what do you look at in this matchup? And Trevor Siemian, the numbers were really good. He made a lot of big throws. He also was in harm's way at times too Monday night.
Yeah, and you know, the interesting aspect for this probably has nothing to do with the game itself, but the Denver Broncos loved Dak Prescott coming out of college.
Yeah.
That was the first team that I spoke with who, and it's one of the few quarterback evaluations I feel like I've actually did well with in the last 5 years, but they said, you got to watch this kid. Watch the improvements he made from his second to last year to his final year. They loved him, and then he missed a darn flight in their pre-draft visit, and it just, they soured on it, and then the DUI happened, and then they just started saying, we gave him these sterling character grades, but now all of a sudden we have two big things that we're kind of worried about. So they cooled on him and mm-hmm. traded for Paxton Lynch. And look, Siemian played well in week 1. Do I think they're any more behind him now than they were prior to that game? Maybe a tiny bit. But so Dak going back and kind of reminding the Broncos of what they liked about him is an interesting element of this game, even if it's not like a big matchup X and O's thing.
Ironically, we have to say, too, the Cowboys, who have since said that if they had to do it over again, it wouldn't be Zeke, it would have been Dak at number 4. They love Paxton Lynch. They're on record as saying that. So that's an interesting...
They try to trade up for him, yep.
Exactly, an interesting kind of subplot here, I suppose. But did you see enough from that Broncos, you know, the first time out under Vance Joseph, the run D look improved to you? Do you think Denver is a legitimate contender with their rookie head coach? They've obviously got the star power.
Yeah.
What'd you think about the early returns on trying to bulk up both of those lines or improve both of those lines this offseason?
Yeah, I mean, obviously they're going to be a little bit thin at safety, and you know, there was some, you know, Darian Stewart went down in the game. They just let go of TJ Ward and stuff, but
yep.
Simmons steps in. But yeah, that front seven I thought looked pretty good, and you know,
Shaq Barrett of 2 years ago in Shane Ray's absence.
Todd Davis made the big stop on fourth down.
Yep.
You know, I mean, Wolf was getting after it. You know, I was a little worried it might have to be the Von Miller show every week.
Right.
You know, I mean, he played fine, but he was great as the game went on. But, I mean, those other guys stepped up really well.
No doubt. Bradley Roby had a great game, too.
Roby was awesome.
He had his hands
good
all
call.
Over footballs. And what about the Cowboys side of it before we move on real quick? Rob Marinelli, I just said it on our TV show, he might be the hardest working man in the NFL. It's amazing what he does with so little talent. What did you think about how they were able – was that more about the Giants being really bad without Odell, or is that the Cowboys pulling more magic tricks out?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the Giants, I went back and watched some of that. I only saw the first half, but, I mean, Eric Flowers looked like he was stuck in the mud. I mean, you know, there was issues. And this is a Giants offensive line that's starting the same five as last year, and the
yeah.
Cowboys won the battle up front. You know, DeMarcus Lawrence was great. Trying to think of the other guys who flashed in that one. But, you know, they didn't even need Taco Charlton, their first-round pick. I think he played about a dozen snaps in the game, 20 snaps, whatever it was. You got Malik Collins on the inside. I mean, they have a pretty good group. Jalen Smith playing early.
What a story.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean,
how can you not root for that guy?
Yeah.
Right?
He's an inspirational kid. If he had never gotten hurt, you'd still love him. So
yeah.
it goes beyond that. And yeah, so defensively things look pretty good, but no Odell, bad O-line. I don't know how to properly judge that group yet.
Yeah. Well, let's fast forward. We certainly got to talk about the Sunday night game. It's as exciting as any. But since we're on the Giants, the Lions were interesting. I mean that defense, I didn't think they could do it. But maybe Carson Palmer's just toast. I don't know yet. But what happens if the Giants struggle? We don't know what's going to happen with Odell yet Monday night. But if the Giants struggle with that Lions incoming defense, is it? I mean, it's early, but it may be kind of time to panic a little bit.
Sure, absolutely.
We know the defense is going
to
be good.
Yep. Yeah, no, I agree with you right there. I mean, the Giants did everything they could defensively. Obviously, you know,
right.
If you have Odell out there, it's a different look offensively. And with the Lions, too, it's so funny. You know, there are people around the league who really like Terrell Austin, their defensive coordinator, mm-hmm. as a possible head coaching candidate. And, you know, I asked somebody in the league, a decision maker, and I said, let me just play devil's advocate. Why do people like him so much? You know, and I'm not even a big fan of, like, statistics when you're picking out a head coach, but that pass defense was not very good last year for the Lions. Oh,
like 72% completion or something?
Yeah, I think they completed 5 out of 4 passes every game, right? Okay, that's impossible. But yeah, it was shocking, you know, and they said they were putting, you know, popsicle sticks to try to hold up a house last year. It was bad back there, you know, and in week one, we saw a very good defensive scheme. Palmer looked old, but man, I mean, Austin, if he keeps doing this, he'll have his choice of jobs, not Willie get a job.
Three safeties. Austin's likes to use that big dime package. Yeah. All three of his safeties came away. Well, I guess there was more than that, but three of the safeties came away with picks. And the pass rush numbers aren't that impressive, but Anthony Zettel had himself a game. They need someone to step up.
Yes.
And Kerry Hyder's absence. Not that Kerry Hyder.
He was great last year, though. Hyder was.
Yeah, for stretches of the season, he was, and came out of nowhere. But, I mean, it's exciting to see they continue to kind of get it done, maybe without the best pieces. And then, of course, Matthew Stafford, a pick six on his first attempt since the $135 million contract. And then all he does is,
what do we get ourselves into?
Right, tosses, I believe, 4 touchdowns in his 29th fourth quarter comeback. That's remarkable. Tied Peyton Manning for the most since Stafford entered the league.
It was like the perfect Stafford game. You know, like the fans are pulling their hair out in the first quarter, right, and they're about to leave. And, oh, look at this. We're only down 2. And then, you know, they come back and win the way they did. I mean, that's just, you know, Stafford makes some thrilling throws. I mean, he is a special arm, and he's just got that knack.
He's become a special leader and a special decision maker for the most part now, too.
Yeah.
If ever there was you needed an endorsement to see that guys don't judge a quarterback too soon, and not that he didn't have the huge season early on, but the consistency has come together in the past year and a half with Jim Bob Cooter.
Do you ever remember a quarterback who, I think he was thrown into the fire, it was a bad Lions team when Schwartz got there first, he was a 53% passer. Last year, what was he, 68 or something?
It's been amazing.
I don't know that I've ever seen a quarterback improve their completion percentage by that big an amount. And maybe Jared Goff will one day have that chance because he was 48 last year or whatever, that's rare.
Yeah, it's pretty special what he's been able to accomplish, and I'll be the first to admit, I thought that Matthew Stafford was a younger version of Jay Cutler. I thought he was going to be a career underachiever just because of those the special tools that never seem to always come together.
True.
I'm sold, man. He earned the contract, and
him.
He is a good leader for that team.
Yeah.
We'll see if they have enough around him ultimately. Let's talk very quickly about the Rams, Eric, and Jared Goff. I don't know if you got a chance to check out a lot of that game, but even just looking at the box score, he had almost half as many explosive throws down the field, explosive completions down the field in that game as he had all of last season.
Unbelievable. And the time he had to throw, too, right? They invested in that offensive line, and they saw the fruits of their labor right away. I mean, that's, you know, I frankly was worried after barely playing in the preseason, 6-7 series, whatever it was, and I just thought, they're not giving him enough time. They got to get these looks and see those pressures from the defense. But it looked like the right decision. You know, maybe they didn't get very many. They got a lot of preseason defense from the Colts in that one, too. But, you know, maybe a tiny bit of a step up in class. I just don't know if the Redskins are any good. You could be looking at 2-0, Aaron Donald's back, and maybe they get Gurley going at some point. I don't know. I said this Rams team was going to be somewhere in the 7-8 win range. People thought I was nuts. They're not perfect, but they're going to be competitive.
Yeah, and, you know, Wade Phillips already up to his old tricks again. I think they had, 2 defensive touchdowns and
safety, too, right?
Yeah, pretty dominant defensive performance, so that is very encouraging. Let's stick with Washington for a minute. Kirk Cousins, one of those big guys in a contract here, along with Terrell Pryor. A lot of changes there, loses both the receivers and, of course, Sean McVay. Do you think they figured out? I mean, there's a lot of talent, you have to assume, but that was pretty rocky, and they didn't look very good in the preseason, that first-string offense.
Yeah, and, you know, Cousins is one of those guys who is mentioned as a possibility. I know Govlik played well in week one. In the offseason, it was at least floated out there that Sean McVay was going to keep an eye on Cousins
right.
in case Goff just, you know, fell apart. So I don't think that's going to happen, but... You know, this all of a sudden you look at Cousins. He hasn't gotten the support locally. You know, Pryor, he and Pryor missed on a few connections. Josh Doctson is kind of nowhere to be found right now. And I don't know. This is sort of how I felt it was going to go. I thought it was going to be a tough season support wise. Now they can come back and win this game and look impressive. But,
yeah.
You know, it's feeling more and more like Cousins is playing his final year there.
Well, certainly there were enough red flags in the offseason
yeah.
from the McLuhan, obviously, unceremonious departure to the very public and probably botched handling of the Kirk Cousins situation. So we'll see what happens with Washington. That's a big game and a tough test going cross country. Eric, Sunday night, the Packers, who you saw up close and personal last week, take care of the Seahawks in maybe the most intense game of week one.
Yeah.
They go back to Atlanta, and they didn't even really give the Falcons much of a fight in that first game. Although, who knows what happens if Aaron Ripkowski doesn't fumble that football as they're driving.
A field goal. Yeah,
right. So maybe it could have gone differently. But what are you looking for in this one? Well, I guess quickly, because we want to talk about Seattle, too. What'd you see at Lambeau Sunday? And then we'll kind of spin it forward to this matchup with the Falcons.
I saw some bad offensive line play, really by both teams, but especially by Seattle. And just, you know, there's no chance on a lot of those plays where. You know, Mark Lewinsky at right guard and Reese Odhiambo at left tackle. Someone's got to explain that to me. It just doesn't make any sense. I mean, he was like the backup right guard a year ago, and now he's suddenly their best option. Probably the most important spot on the offensive line, but other than center. So, yeah, I mean, I still want to believe this Packers defense improved, and I still want to believe that, you know, that they're going to play closer to that level this year, but I'll give you my answer after the Atlanta game,
right.
You know. And, I mean, you know, you were at Falcons-Bears week one. I mean, you saw them up close. It wasn't the most impressive performance of all time, and they get a lot better.
Yeah, not by any means. Steve Sarkisian's first time out, it was rocky. They were about 10 points below their average last year with Kyle Shanahan,
yep.
and didn't get the run game going, didn't get Julio Jones started. So, you know, they're going to be anxious to kind of get some of those elements that were so successful last year working. Kind of funny timing, Eric, with Ladarius Gunter being waived this week. Of course, he was the one tasked with not only following Dez Bryant in January, but Julio Jones, who went off for almost two Bills. So now this Packers defense and Dom Capers will bring in Devon House and of course Demaryius Randall and Kevin King, the rookie. I know Seattle didn't really have the time to test that Green Bay secondary, but do you think it'll be improved and up to the challenge for this what's supposed to be as high flying Falcons offense?
Yeah, Randall looks healthy, which is mm-hmm. good. I mean, he gave up that play to Paul Richardson down the sideline in the second half, but I mean, it was like, you know, it was in traffic. It was on the sideline. It was a tough catch. It was contested. I mean, so you see plays like that, and you're encouraged. You think, okay, these aren't blown coverages like, you know, Gunter just getting eaten up by Julio in the playoff game and whoever they wanted to put on him. I mean, it didn't matter at that point. They were down to their fifth and sixth options.
Yeah, not even his fault. It was an unfair situation,
oh,
right?
God, I mean, you know, undrafted rookie, a kid who had, you know, flashed a little bit a couple years before that. But, yeah, so we'll see different look. You know, I don't think King is ready for that kind of matchup. Sometimes you want to put those big, long guys on Julio. But,
yeah,
I think he's still kind of in that. You know, you remember when they got Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, they sort of spoon-fed him early before he really got the role. So, yeah, this is a similar deal with guys like King and Josh Jones, the DB they drafted this year. So,
right.
We'll see. I mean, do they get folded in a little bit more? Maybe. But, yeah, it's got to be some of the holdovers who really step up.
It's all going to spin off the pass rush, obviously, and we've talked about that on this show. You've written about it. They're thin, but it was a good start, certainly, with Mac Daniels and Nick Perry leading the charge. And I will say, just from being in Chicago and watching Akeem Hicks just steal that
ate
new guard's lunch, yeah, that's going to be another opportunity for Mike Daniels. Is it Schweitzer? I'm struggling on the name, but the guy that replaced
Schweitzer? Yeah,
I think it's Schweitzer.
Yeah.
He had a rough debut in the starting lineup. So
yep.
I should have mentioned sooner, this is the Pro Football Weekly podcast with with Eric Edelman and Arthur Arkish. Please give us a subscribe on iTunes. Rating and review would be great while you're over there as well. And I do need to thank our friends Loot Crate, our awesome sponsor, and we appreciate Loot Crate being so good to us. Make sure you check them out at lootcrate.com. Lots of they call it the best surprise you know is coming in your mailbox. All right, Eric, that was kind of the speed round through this week's slate. Is there anything we didn't hit on? Anything you're excited to? You're excited to see that we didn't talk about it. And I'll go first. I'll give you a minute.
Sure.
So I don't throw you a curveball. What about the Dolphins? We waited for Jay Cutler's debut, and it is kind of interesting. There's nothing good, of course, about having to play 16 straight weeks and the Hurricane, of course, first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
It is interesting, though, that Jay Cutler, the last starter to arrive, of course, after Ryan Tannehill goes down, has the
good
least
point.
Time to work. Adam Gase probably, I'm sure he maximized those few extra days and the time off to get ready for this Chargers defense. That was interesting against the Broncos. Certainly Melvin Ingram played great, kind of ups and downs. I don't know. I got some mild concerns about Gus Bradley running that show. I think I mentioned that last week.
Yeah. No, I like your use of interesting. It's like when you go to a restaurant and you try something. This is interesting. Yeah. You don't hate it, but you don't love it, right? I think that's a perfect descriptor for what we saw. Yeah, they were late running some guys on the goal line defense. They're switching schemes completely. I mean, look, right. You know, the front is going to look a lot different. But as long as you have Ingram and Bosa rushing off the edge, and some of those interior guys might be a little bit underrated, you know, pressure helps everything out. And they have some talent in the secondary. It's not a complete look right now. So, yeah, I mean, you know, for the Dolphins and for Cutler, obviously getting that timing down was huge. They relocated to the West Coast for a few days and got settled out there. Yeah, I want to see how they and the Bucs look after not playing in week one, obviously, but – for the Dolphins, they're probably the bigger unknown of the two teams that didn't play in week one. And we just it's going to be fascinating to see Cutler in his first action.
It'd be a great test for that run defense. It was one of the worst in football last year and was excited about the upgrades at linebacker and then lost Raekwon McMillan. So getting Melvin Gordon is certainly going to be a real challenge there. And just to be clear, Bosa and Ingram both played really well, but just seeing Trevor Siemian get Bosa on roller skates there at the goal line was kind of an unsettling sight for me. So just we'll give him kind of an incomplete that Chargers defensive debut.
I think Siemian is the first rushing TD in the NFL, and I think he had something like negative 200 yards rushing in college. So he's not exactly known as a scrambler. That was pretty impressive, though.
Credit where it's due. Siemian made some big-time throws, and the Broncos are 1-0. All right, Eric, we're wrapping up here, but any other matchups here that I didn't mention that kind of jump out at you? Anything you're excited to see that maybe will help you kind of be a bigger believer in what you saw week one or kind of the flip side?
Yeah, I guess Vikings Steelers. I know we didn't go too deep on that one. That's a great matchup. That's just, you know, the Vikings offensive line improvements, the Steelers defensively look pretty good for the most part. So I guess it's supposed strength against supposed strength. And you know, and then you find out where Le'Veon Bell is. Does he bounce back? Is Sam Bradford for real? But a lot of elements to that game. Mike Tomlin used to be a coach of the Vikings briefly. But, yeah, it's more about where these teams are now.
A couple exciting rookie encores in that one. Not only Dalvin Cook, but T.J. Watt was, of course, awesome for Pittsburgh. And
that was great.
Yeah, we'll see Le'Veon Bell and Martavis Bryant both very quiet in the opener, but they were able to get enough done to take care of the Browns. So that's going to do it for this week's Pro Football Weekly podcast. This is Arthur Arkish for Eric Edholm. We appreciate you being with us. One more time, head to iTunes and subscribe to the PFW podcast. Make sure you never miss an episode. We hope you enjoy the week two action. And of course, also a huge thank you to our producer, Dan Mott. We couldn't do it without him schlepping all kinds of extra equipment down to the TV studio to make sure that we're sounding as good as possible. So thank you, Dan Mott. I hope your back doesn't hurt too much from carrying us. We'll see you guys next week on the Pro Football Weekly podcast.